My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
I'm Damon Bolte.
I'm Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues.
I'm Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Full service.
Welcome back to Full Service Radio. We've been gone for a few weeks, but we are back. I'm Jack Inslee, your host, and this week I'm real excited about the guests. This is actually 2 weeks in a row now with Wadham Connection guests, so I really fucks with that. So this week in the studio, we've got William S. Braintree all the way from San Francisco. He says to have a unique brand of electronic music, fast, colorful, heavily melodic, a penchant for glitchy drums, which all sounds like it's right up my alley, right up the listener's alley. A few quick announcements. Tomorrow night at Tandem, Full Service will be happening in real life, featuring myself and RecTech as Knife Show, Gang, former guest of Full Service Radio, Spliffington, the one and only, and Poolboy 92, Full Service resident. So that's all going down at Tandem in Bushwick for free tomorrow. I believe that's November, what is it, the 14th, 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. So come if you like this show and hear music in real life. Anyway, as we always do, we're going to jump right into the set, and we will be back in about 45 minutes. I'll chat with William S. Braintree. In the meantime, here he is, live in the studio, all original music, which is extra exciting. So without further ado, William S. Braintree.
Greetings to all of you from me and the rest of us. Before I begin to show you the modular components that I'm going to send you, Herb, I thought I'd play a little bit on the Abominatron here. Thank you.
some of my favorite music on the show in a long time. Thank you, sir. Listeners, you've been listening to the sounds of William S. Braintree for the past 45 minutes or so. And that was all original music, right? I mean...
Yeah, all original.
Incredible. Really, really good stuff. I have a lot of questions to ask you about music. Also, there's this pizza that just got brought in here, so like you should feel free to just jump in on that.
That is delicious looking.
Like right over here, maybe.
Try not to burn my mouth on it.
That's the sound of me bringing a pizza to the guest. Because that's what we do in full service radio. That's why we're at Roberta's. So while you get situated with some pizza, I want to remind listeners again that I have to send a special shout out to RecTech, who made this show happen. And you're the second guest, as I said, in a row to be through the Wadham connection. Last week we had Sparkle Motion. I don't know if you know him, but also a Wadham dude. Also a dude I met through Nat. So before I jump into, like, usually I do a food part of the interview first, and I'll explain that in a minute. But what is Wadham? Because now it's 2 weeks in a row that I've said that. It stands for We Are the Music Makers. But give listeners a, explain it.
Well, it's a community of people that are into, you know, weird electronic music. I guess it actually started as a community for Aphex Twin, but then it kind of grew into this whole other thing. You know, a lot of people that like that kind of music also like, you know, kind of industrial music or something like, you know, Future Sound of London, people on there like that. So, it's mostly people that make music. So do you still get your people that just kind of want to know about, you know, the goings on of the current state of electronic music. But it's for pretty much anybody off the beaten track. And like there are at least two forums for people that make music, or sub forums, I should say.
Would you say the glory days have kind of passed of that community?
I would say that there's, you know, there's a lot of, do you mean for this kind of music? Mm-hmm. Or
no, for the community of Wadham. I mean, from people I know in Wadham, they're like, oh yeah, it's not what it used to be, that place.
And it used to be a lot more chaotic, and
right,
it was fun, but it was also infuriating at times. But you know, there are some, it's kind of funny to do you know Fluorescent Gray?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a buddy of mine, and he was putting on shows a couple years ago. And I was playing over there, and I ran into one of the guys that got banned from Wadham. Yeah. And I was just like, wow, this is...
In the flesh.
Yeah, yeah.
Banned user in the flesh. Yeah, wow, that's real as fuck.
You don't get banned from everything? Just the website?
Yeah, right. You can go places?
Yeah, I thought they'd come to your house and arrest you.
Oh, man. Well, as you may or may not know, Heritage Radio Network is a food-focused radio station. Most of what we do is food. So I have to start this interview with some food questions. Now, you're from San Francisco. I want to know your top three places to eat in your great city.
It's very funny because someone was actually asking me about this the other day. They were going to go visit. I would say, does it have to be like in a row?
No.
Number, okay. I'm vegetarian, so...
Cool.
Gracias Madre is up there. It's vegan Mexican food, and it's delicious. Like you wouldn't know.
Okay.
That place is really good. There's a place called Pachi's. That's a pizza place. They do like deep dish style pizza. I know a lot of people in New York have a thing against it, but
I'm all about it.
Yeah, I like it. It's delicious. Pachi's pizza. That let's see. And then I'm also a fan of diners, for just like, you know, just your regular old diner. So I'd say probably this little place called Arts in the Inner Sunset. It's operated by a Korean family, and so you can get like a bibimbap omelet.
Ooh.
If you want. Yeah, it's, so that place is always delicious.
How's the Roberta's pizza treating you?
It's good. I'm a really big fan of pizza, so, and I was really excited to come to New York and eat the pizza, because a lot of places in California, not as good. I will put my name on that and stand by that.
That's an easy one, though. Come on. Well, what is the best meal you've ever had in New York City? And it's okay to talk with food in your mouth on this show.
I hope so. The best meal I've ever had in New York. I'm not really sure. I basically...
Have you come often?
No. The last time I was in New York was like 6 years ago. So I used to live in Boston, but I didn't make it over a whole lot. I don't know. Basically, any pizza place that you go to is pretty awesome.
Pizza's going to be the answer again here.
Yeah,
I like pizza. It. Yeah, pizza.
I ate at a place called Mike's Coffee Shop earlier this morning that was really good. Like the fastest omelet I've ever had.
Well, what we've learned is you definitely have you have homework to do in terms of food in New York City.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. And what about the food you grew up eating? Like, what childhood meal jumps to mind, something that really sticks with you from growing up?
Baked spaghetti. You ever had baked spaghetti?
No.
It's you make a lot of spaghetti, and then you put it into a casserole dish.
Yeah.
And then you just layer it with cheese.
So it's like a lasagna spaghetti kind of
thing. Kind
of,
yeah. But it's not. It doesn't have the layers that like a lasagna has. It's just a whole bunch of bacon. It's, you know, a bunch of spaghetti topped with cheese, and then you throw it in the oven.
Solid. That sounds pretty good. All right. Well, now moving on to music. You say that you know this is all original music that we heard today. Obviously, a lot of Baroque influence. The melodies, you can hear that, and video game music, etc. And then you say that you license music for advertisements. So I want to know kind of what that's been like for you and how you got into that. Do you make your career making music, or do you have a different day job?
I do have a day job just because, like, this kind of music is real hard.
That's what I'm wondering. When you say you license stuff to advertisers, like, who's picking up stuff like this?
Every once in a while, like, somebody will contact me and basically, like, I'll just get an email about it and then
really?
A check.
So just from having your stuff online?
Yeah. I went through, there are a bunch of different music houses that do that. And all you have to do is submit it. It takes a long time to get through the whole process just because there's so many people sending in their tracks and whatnot. But I submitted my music to their library basically, and then after a while, I think it was like a year after my stuff was in there, somebody came upon it and then put it in some commercial. And then
what was the commercial for?
It was something weird. It wasn't something like you'd hear on the radio or on. It was for, like, software that they were... It was someplace in Amsterdam.
Okay, it wasn't, like, Halliburton or something.
No, I might have a problem with that.
I might have said no to that one. Interesting. That's really cool. And now, what was, like, the music you grew up listening to? Do you remember the first CD you had that you really fell in love with?
I'd say probably the one that I just listened to over and over and over again and destroyed was probably White Zombie, Astro Creep 2000.
Yo, that, you and me both, man. Wow. I like, that's a very real answer. More Human Than Human was my jam.
Yeah, I wore it out on tape, and so I had to go buy the CD.
God, what a good record.
Yeah, I still listen to it every once
Sound
in a while.
Sound design is out of control on that record.
It's crazy. Yeah, there's so much detail in all of it. Like, especially, there's, like, at the end of one track, it's, like, that, and then, like, a sack hitting the ground. I always loved that sound. I don't know what it
is. I'm about to go sample that sound tonight. Damn, that's the best answer I've gotten to that question. I had the t-shirt, too, with the graphic from the cover of that record.
I went back home to my dad's place, and I found this White Zombie t-shirt that I had in like the seventh grade or something like that. And so I found it and now I wear it again.
Yeah, damn straight you do. Yeah, I bet it is.
It's like a large. That's why they wore it in the 90s.
That's the game. Yeah, absolutely. So when did you start making music? Well, actually, I want to rewind. So White Zombie, I mean, I was definitely on the same tip. I definitely grew up listening to a lot of hip hop as well, but I'm wondering what your kind of introduction to electronic music was.
There was a radio station. It was just like the local radio station in Columbus. I grew up in Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so grew up in Columbus. I went to school in Boston, and now I live in San Francisco. But there was a local radio station that had... they had two shows on there, one of which was like just dance music and whatnot. And then after that, it was like down-tempo trip-hop kind of stuff. And I really liked listening to both of those, even though they had different kind of energies, you know. I think All in the Mix was the name of the second one.
Way to go, radio.
Yeah. Yeah, so nice. Nice plug for... It's valuable that turns you on to stuff that you wouldn't have known.
That's the idea. You'd hope so. So when did you start making music then? What was your introduction to production?
I started playing an instrument when I was like 11.
What did you play?
Double bass.
Ooh.
So upright bass, yeah. And then I started when I was about 14 or 15. There was this band that I really liked called Sister Machine Gun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an industrial metal band, or not metal, but industrial rock band from the 90s. And they had this album called The Torture Technique. And then my brother, I guess, had mentioned that like they do a bunch of stuff like with tape. So I was like, oh, that's cool. And I had like a cassette deck. You know, totally didn't know anything about it. And so I started I would do this thing where I would put a CD in, hit record on the tape player, and only hold it down for a second. And so hold it down for a second and then switch out the CD and then record for another second. So the end product would be like...
Yes.
Something like that. And so that was kind of my stuff. That was how I got introduced to electronic music, even though I wasn't thinking about it like that. So I was like, that's... Electronic music made with keyboards.
Sure. That's amazing, so, dude.
But after that, a friend of mine just downloaded a bunch of software illegally and gave it to me for my birthday, 16th birthday.
It's a hell of a gift.
Yeah, right.
What was it, Acid or?
It had a bunch of stuff on it. He got Fruity Loops 2.
Fruity Loops,
2,
yeah, that was the shit.
Fruity Loops 2, Acid 2.0.
Cool Edit.
Yeah, Cool Edit. What's that guy's name? Something Nyquist or
the fake license. Yeah, for sure.
It's licensed to everybody.
Oh, near and dear to my heart. Cool Edit 2.0.
Yeah, I mean it's Adobe Audition now,
right?
And I still use it. So.
Do you?
Yeah.
Is that what you're making tunes in?
Well, I don't construct the whole thing. I use Logic.
Okay.
Mainly, but for live sets and stuff, I use Ableton.
Right.
And so, I export.
But you're not making music in Ableton, you're just using it for performance?
Yeah, I just use it for, loops.
Cool.
Everything, most of the stuff that I've done is, except for a few things, it's, constructed of loops and stuff. That's why I have to bring this APC 40.
So, two more questions. What does William S. Braintree mean? Where did that name come from?
I saw it on a sign. For my first trip to Boston, I was just looking out the window, and it said, there was a highway sign where it said William Street, 10 miles, Braintree, 22 miles. Braintree's, it's a little outside Boston. And so, but the T and the period had been weathered off, so it just said William S. Braintree. Ooh. So, and I was like, oh, that sounds like a name. And I was in this grindcore band at the time. And they didn't want to use
playing
it.
Bass,
screaming and playing bass,
screaming at both, of course, yeah,
like a maniac,
yeah.
But yeah, they didn't want to use it. They thought it was a shitty name, but I was like, I will use it.
Put it on the shelf.
Yeah,
fuck yeah. So in the spirit of you discovering electronic music through radio, if anybody's listened to this show and really enjoyed your set, give them three artists. Point them in the direction of three other artists they might enjoy.
Contemporaries?
Sure, yeah.
Pine Box is one. Let's see. There's some of that I've, if you go back a long time, mm-hmm. Delia Derbyshire is, obviously not a contemporary of mine. No, she's dead.
Fine, but...
but she's made, amazing music that just with all tape and stuff. And then somebody else recent, I guess, I've been really into Chris Clark.
Yeah. That new record is...
Yeah.
Excellent.
He's been killing it for the last few years, you know? I heard his first album, I was like, eh. But, it's just progressively gotten better and better and better.
Indeed. Yeah, that new Chris Clark record, it's a self-titled record, Clark. Probably hard to Google it. Google Chris Clark. I don't know. Figure it out. It's a damn good record. Well, shit, man, that's the interview, but I really appreciate you coming on. That was a really incredible set, and it's not often that we get all original music. We get a lot of original music, but to hear a whole complete set of original tunes was really a treat. So thank you.
Well, thanks for having me on. It's been great.
And if you like this man, Google William S. Braintree, and you will find what you need to find. As I said, tomorrow night at Tandem, we are throwing a party in Bushwick. Rack Tech, myself as Knife Show, Poolboy 92, Spliffington, and Gang from Purple Tape Pedigree. So that's going down. What else? That's about it. If you enjoy this show, subscribe on iTunes. Make your life easier. Or Stitcher Smart Radio, another great app that we work with. Or just go to heritageradionetwork.org and you can find everything. Fullserviceparty.com for more information on us. I'm at Jack Inslee on Twitter. Blah, 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 blah. Social media. Thank you for listening. We've got one more tune. What are you going to close the show with? Or do you know yet?
Yeah, it's called Egyptian Pigeon Hive.
Egyptian Pigeon Hive. To close the show. Thank you for tuning in. We will see you guys hopefully next week. It's been kind of sporadic, but we're gonna get our act together in the new year. This has been Full Service Radio. Thanks for listening. Thank you.
for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.